This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Back. Alan Ellis here, the Outdoorsman Radio Show on WCBM 680, which coincidentally is our phone number, 410 WCBM 680. Like to hear from you, 410-922-6680, 1-800-922-6680. Last hour, in case you missed it, I will summarize. The Department of Natural Resources is celebrating Hispanic Heritage month, I guess, from September 15th to October 15th. I don't know how they figure that's a month, but that's not the way I calculate months. And they're going to do that, and then they're going to have the hunter safety courses, the online hunter safety courses, now narrated in Spanish. And all those press releases followed on the heels. One actually was right after the press release that talked about all the fisheries violations and people catching illegal striped bass. And do I really need to read all those names again? No, I don't. But it was interesting. If you missed it, you'll have to listen to the podcast on ellisoutdoors.com. Also talked about the law right now that's on the docket. The Office of Management and Budget, the Federal Office of Management and Budget, released its recommendations for budget cuts that include withholding parts of the Sport Fish Restoration and Boating Trust Fund, a move that would freeze $34 million that wouldn't go back to the states for habitat restoration, access, and boating safety programs. And they're also talking about cutting $31 million from the Wildlife Restoration Act. That is an act funded by hunters and men and women who engage in the shooting sports and archery that supports wildlife restoration. Now they're coming after us directly. They're coming after your money. They're coming after my money. And I'm not happy about it. And I thought you should know about it. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. You can go to, if you're a fisherman, you can go to a website called KeepAmericaFishing.org, which we've recommended many times. And if you're at all interested in what's happening on the national level, KeepAmericaFishing.org will help you on that. However, I have heard no outrage from anyone in Maryland. None. I don't get an email from... Didn't get an email from Ducks Unlimited. I didn't get an email from Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. Didn't get an email from Maryland Quality Deer Management Association. Didn't get an email from the National Wild Turkey Federation. Didn't get an email from any of the fishing organizations as some kind of an alert, action alert. Didn't get an email from anyone who even is remotely concerned about recreational dollars, grand total $65 million in money that goes to the states for those programs that I mentioned, sport fish restoration, access, public land, wildlife management. Nope, nobody's interested. Nobody cares. But the Hunter Safety Education course online is going to be narrated in Spanish. Yee frickin' ha. Hey, wake up out there. Let's talk about this on the Outdoorsman Radio Show, 410 WCBM 680. The Coastal Conservation Association on Tuesday called on its members to contact the Department of Natural Resources Secretary John Griffin, asking that the commercial industry be held accountable for the cost of its fishery. Unlike recreational fishermen, you and I, the taxpayer, support the commercial fishing industry. DNR is developing a report, and I know they've been working diligently on this, taking nothing away from fisheries, to the General Assembly, in which it will recommend ways to cover the $1.6 million shortfall in its fisheries service. The Assembly is expected to act on the recommendations in the coming session. Quote, the commercial industry has created a fiscal mess through illegal gill nets and continued oyster poaching during the past 2 years, said Tony Friedrich. He's the CCA MD executive director. These actions have resulted in increased enforcement costs for DNR and contributed greatly to the shortfall, let alone brought damage to the fisheries. Now is the time to hold the commercial fisheries, the commercial industry accountable. CCA MD asked members to make 4 points in communicating with Secretary Griffin. One, the commercial industry must be held accountable for the full cost of managing its fishery, including added enforcement costs associated with the illegal gill nets, striped bass fishery management issues, and never-ending oyster poaching. Two, the department must recommend that the shortfall be covered by either cuts in programs for the commercial sector, higher fees for commercial fishing, or a combination of both. Three, general funds must not be shifted or wrongly allocated to make up for the commercial industry's refusal to pay its own way. And four, conservation and water quality programs that benefit all of Maryland citizens must not be cut to cover the commercial industry shortfall. CCA believes that DNR must not cut critical services that benefit recreational anglers and all Maryland citizens if the commercial industry refuses to pay its own way. It's time to hold commercial fishermen responsible for the mess their industry has created. That is the opinion of Tony Friedrich, and we have his phone number there. Let's talk to Vince in Chestertown. Good morning, Vince. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. How are you?
I'm good. We're talking about money today, aren't we?
Oh, man. Well, you know, they've been raping the funds for years. Now, they've just been very quiet about it in the past. Now they don't care because when you've got groups fighting among yourselves and you're not organized as sportsmen, what the heck? They can get away with it.
Hey, buddy, let me tell you something. The sportsmen in this state are the worst organized I've ever seen in my life. You've got a coalition of Midwestern fishermen coming together in Ohio today for a convention. A get-together, so to speak. It's a gathering of people in the Midwest who are interested in sportsmen. I'm sure there's a coalition of sportsmen's groups. It's all under the banner of the U.S. Sportsmen's Alliance, whose headquarters are in Ohio. Paul Ryan, for God's sake, and his busy schedule is going to address these guys. They're giving away a lease on an 18-acre farm in Ohio, plus a lot of other prizes. What are we doing here in Maryland? With the vast natural resources that we have, with the opportunities that we have, who here is doing anything to promote the sport of hunting and fishing in Maryland and to be organized to the point where we have a big enough voice with the General Assembly that says we're a million strong, we pump $1 billion into Maryland economy, pay attention to what we have to say.
You know, Alan, I would like to see the numbers of where the recreational fishermen had to, register?
Yeah.
What's the bottom number off of that registration? How many fishermen of ourselves?
You're talking about the saltwater registry.
Right.
Okay.
That's got to be a huge number.
Well, let me break it down.
Go right ahead, Alan.
Let me break it down to you. There's about 80,000 to 90,000 hunting licenses sold annually, and about I think it's somewhere around 250,000 fishing licenses. And I'm just pulling that off the top of my head, but I know that the overall participation of residents and non-residents numbers about 1 million people here in Maryland over the course of a year in both fishing and hunting. and the amount generated by those people. I'm talking about, you know, I'm talking about bass tournaments coming into Southern Maryland. I'm talking about the hunting seasons, you know, the recreational guys, you know, special events like Waterfowl Festival, all that's lumped into hunting and fishing, okay? About $1 billion, $900 million to $1 billion. Now, that was $900 million was a figure that came out in the 2006 survey. Their just 2011 survey just came out. I don't have the numbers yet. I don't even know where to get the report, but I will get it. And we'll take a look at the state by state breakdown on that. But roughly 1 million participants, $1 billion. Dollars generated into the economy of Maryland, and we don't get any credit. We don't get any attention.
I know it's a mess. I mean,
what Vince? What organizations do you belong to?
Well, I belong to CCA. I belong to a private fishing club.
Okay.
And you know, we need to get these groups involved in a grassroots situation too.
Yeah.
Everybody in the club needs to get all their congressmen
yeah.
and tell them, we're upset. This isn't right.
Yeah. Well, CCA, I'm sure they emailed all their members and told them, be a seminar caller to John Griffin and to make these 4 points. Here are your talking points. Here's what you need to do. But I don't see any email from CCA talking about the Sportfish Restoration Fund being frozen. $31 million, part of which comes into Maryland, will not be received if this administration has its way. Nobody sees this as a threat. Nobody sees this as a big deal. Oh, well, that's just Washington. That's BS, brother.
That's, I agree.
What happens if your favorite boat ramp gets closed? What happens if your favorite fishing pier gets closed and you can't take your kids fishing? What happens when those budget cuts start affecting you and me? Oh, scream, yell, oh, well, oh, what happened? Well, 2 years ago, 2 years ago, Congress cut the funding. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, yeah, you did.
But you just want to let it up to the other guy to do something.
Ah, exactly. You see, there are all these little groups. There are all these little chapters. There are, and it's a great program. It's a great, and all these organizations are good intentioned on their surface. But when you've got a little group of people who are focused on one type of activity, they become incestuous. And they become Joe does that, and Bob does that, and, you know, that's the president, that's his job. I'm a member, but, you know, I don't go to the meetings, I don't support him or anything like that. We need a wake-up call, folks, because to be this disorganized is death to our sport.
They got tunnel vision.
Yep. And
hey, listen, go ahead.
I was going to say, this one fights with that one. You know, I've written about this, you know. You got the waterfowlers, they don't support the bow hunters, and the bow hunters don't support the trappers, and the trappers don't support the turkey hunters, and the turkey hunters don't support the bow hunters. And, you know, hey, we're all in this together. We all share a great big pie. We all share the natural resources. And, you know, guess what? There's deer and waterfowl and turkeys and everything else on throughout Maryland, and you just can't stay species or weapon-specific or equipment specific and be a part of the solution. You're a part of the problem.
I know.
And they only get upset. Yeah, they only get upset when part of their little niche is threatened.
Yep. And then, you know, it's on their, and when it's in their backyard, then it's a big deal.
Yep.
I'm telling you.
Yep.
Hey, Alan.
Yo.
When's the DNR going to have hunter safety in Polish and Italian?
Well, that's a good question. That's a good question.
Any group should be excluded.
Yeah.
Do it in Spanish.
Well, you know the next.
Think of the other groups too.
Exactly. Well, the next one's going to be Farsi, and then after that is going to be probably Hindi. And
where do we live? I forgot.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm lost somewhere.
Well, we live in the Great Melting Pot, but guess what? Guess what? The Great Melting Pot has a common language. It's called English.
You're kidding me.
Nope, I'm absolutely serious.
God. All this time, I thought my parents taught me a foreign language.
Do what?
I said, all this time, I thought my parents taught me a foreign language.
Yeah, right, exactly. Exactly. Oh, man.
All right, Alan. Well, you fired me up this morning with that one. I'll see what our little fishing group can do.
All right. Well, if anybody would like to have information, this is readily available stuff. I can forward this information to you. It's a simple email process, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com.
All right.
Okay. We'll send you the whatever you want.
All right, man.
Thanks, Vince. See you, buddy.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
There goes Vince. Wow. Speaking of geese. Let's see. I've not heard how the geese and duck hatches were this summer and the expected migration. Please announce if you have the info. Very few geese in Rock Hall so far. Well, it's a little bit early, but we've seen some flocks. We've heard some flocks going over the mid-shore. I suspect that some of the geese that we killed in Carroll County on Tuesday might have been migrators that joined up with some of the residents. Most of the banded geese that we killed were resident geese. The answer to your question is the true migration hasn't really started yet. We've got some birds trickling in. The goose hatch was average. There were like 195,000. I can't tell you the number. Well, maybe I can. Hold on. Maryland Hunting Quarterly has a good amount of this information. Let's see. Where is it? Give me a second here. I'll work on it and try and get it for you. There it is, page 50. What we have, the migrating geese are called the Atlantic population, and the geese that live on the reservoirs and waterways around the state year-round are called resident. It's AP and RP. Michael, Rock Hall, the survey to estimate the number of breeding pairs of Canada geese on the Ungava Peninsula in northern Quebec was conducted in June. The estimated number of breeding pairs was 190,000 compared to 216,000 in 2011. The proportion of indicated pairs observed as single geese was 51%, identical to the average from 1994 to 2012. Single goose observed are males defending a nest territory with a female incubating nearby. Total population estimate, breeding pairs and group birds was 871,198 Canada geese, compared to 980,181,000 in 2011. So the calculation was down 110,000, 109,000 geese. The total population estimate may contain large numbers of molt migrant geese from other goose populations that show up along the northeastern Hudson Bay coast. And so the total estimate should be interpreted cautiously. This is on page 50 of the Maryland Hunting Quarterly. The whole survey is there. Maryland Hunting Quarterly is available online at marylandhuntingquarterly.com. It is also available through the ellisoutdoors.com website, which is the host site for the business known as Ellis Outdoors, LLC, the company that I own. Go to ellisoutdoors.com. You will see the new homepage with my smiling face on there, and it's got the Outdoors and Radio Show. You can click on that button for the podcast and for information about me. You can click on the Maryland Hunting Quarterly and see the online version of Maryland Hunting Quarterly, or you can click on Maryland Loves Crabs and go to that website as well, all at ellisoutdoors.com. You can email me, like Michael did from Rock Hall, at ellis@ellisoutdoors.com, but we can also call and have a conversation right now today at 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Speaking of Canada geese, let me tell you about Sean Mann. Sean Mann Outdoors. Sean is a local boy from the Eastern Shore. His father owned Bill Mann's gun shop in Easton. Lifelong goose hunter. Sean grew up hunting with his dad. His dad passed away, of course, and 30 years ago he sold that store to Larry Albright. Albright's gun shop in Easton, landmark there now. Sean, back early on, loved to call geese and tried to figure out how to make a goose call. And guess what he did? He made one called, and he named it the Eastern Shoreman. It was a little different looking than most of the goose calls back in the day. It was a long flute-like instrument, and it successfully and accurately reproduced all the sounds of a Canada goose. That was 1985. Well, it had been around a long time. The Eastern Shoreman, I had my hand around my Eastern Shoreman the other day on Tuesday when the geese were coming in, or actually when they were leaving. I was going to do the old comeback call, and I thought better of it and let that to the fellow that was assigned to call the geese. So, but they are in every goose hunter's bag in Maryland. Sean Mann, Eastern Shoreman Goose Call. You can get yours by going to SeanMann.com, SeanMann.com, or call in the office, 800-345-4539 in Talbot County, 800-345-4539. Sean Mann, Sean Mann Outdoors. Maybe you can book a hunt with Sean. Maybe you can learn about all the Sean Mann calls. But the way to do that is call the toll-free number, 800-345-4539, or SeanMann.com.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Joan Jones. At first glance, the economy class jetliner cabin will soon look a lot like the cabin of 20 years ago. But when you go below the surface, you'll see that new technology is expanding the passenger experience. In-flight entertainment systems embedded in seatbacks are being designed to be lighter and offer sleeker and more advanced interfaces. High-definition screens running Google's Android operating system are due next year. And many carriers have added USB ports for charging personal electronics or outlets to play content from personal devices on the seatback screen. Airlines are experimenting with new ways to stream content wirelessly to a tablet or smartphone from onboard servers. But don't expect to see recent release movies streaming to your device. Hollywood isn't comfortable yet letting movies stream to any electronics that could potentially illegally record the content. Even the bathrooms are getting a high-tech makeover with automatic hands-free flushing. I'm Joan Jones with the Wall Street Journal.
This is Charles Osgood. Every day, where do I see the independent spirit our country was founded on? In small business owners. We rely on them, and they rely on the UPS store. From packing and shipping to professional printing to mailbox services, small business owners get help from the UPS store. But perhaps the best thing they get is the feeling that they're not alone out there. And even for those with a strong independent streak, that's a rather reassuring feeling.
We love small business. We love logistics. To find the location near you, visit theupsstore.com.
Presenting all 50 reasons to switch your business to the new Sage 50 accounting software. Ready?
Ready.
Go.
One, Sage 50 is quick to install and easy to use. Two, turns information into insights. Three, improves efficiency. Four, easily tracks and forecasts cash flow. Five, supports online banking. Six, creates and manages budgets. What?
Six. Seriously? For all 50 reasons and a free trial of Sage 50 accounting, visit sagetoday.com/50.
Wait, I can do it.
Oh, that's sweet. sagetoday.com/50.
Big Buck Scents, Cold Scent, has a fast-growing reputation for attracting big Maryland bucks. Several friends of mine have used Cold Scent with great results. Big Bucks, Maryland's Eastern Shore's home to Big Buck Scents. Big Buck Cold Scent is different than those mass-produced bottles you see on every shelf. First, it's one deer to one bottle. That's a 4-ounce bottle, too. Plenty for the rut. Now, the deer urine is collected and immediately refrigerated. It's kept cold, and the vital elements will not break down and become less attractive. Trust me, there's a science behind all this. Big Buck Scents arrives at your local dealer cold in its own refrigerator. You keep it cold till you use it, and you will see the results. Try Cold Scent, Vanilla Bean, Doe in Heat, Dominant Buck, or Doe Pea in the 4-ounce bottle. For more information, visit the website BigBuckScents.com or visit your local dealer. Ask for and use Cold Scent by Big Buck Scents. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Radio 680 WCPM. I'm on a first name basis at the tackle shop. I got a charge account running up nonstop. They ought to give me my own parking spot. I can't fit another plug in my tackle box. It
It's always under construction for all my weapons of mass destruction. I got buds, baits, and Zara spooks, pumpkin seeds, and flutes, booyah, crawfish jigs. I got a 7-foot flipping stick, all the soft plastics to hook one on a Texas rig. My wife stays on me, and my banker just told me that he's working on a tax deduction for all the money I'm dropping on my weapons of mass destruction.
All right, let's talk to Edward on Liberty Road. Good morning, Edward. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
Good, man.
I like listening to your show in the morning.
I'm on
the way to work. I'm heading up to Westminster now.
Yeah, I got you.
I got a perspective on that million, billion, trillion thing you had going a little while
ago. Go for it.
I read this in, I think it was American Handgunner Magazine.
Okay.
And they said, talking about Federal Ammo Company, and they said, let's assume they make... They work 250 days a year. They're closed on weekends and they're off 2 weeks for vacation.
Okay.
They make a million rounds a day.
Right.
Of 22.
Right.
How long does it take to make a billion?
250,000 a day. Is that what you said? How many a day?
250 days, a million rounds a day.
That's 250 million. So it would take 4 days to make...
No, 4 years.
A trillion or a billion?
No, a billion.
4 years to make a billion.
All right,
okay.
How long for a trillion?
No, go on, tell me.
4,000 years.
Yep.
And they went on to say, well, now you know, back then I think our debt was $9 trillion.
Wow.
But
wow.
We're never going to get it paid off.
I heard Mark Stein the other day. He said, do you remember, I don't know how old you are, Edward, but do you remember the song, In the Year 2525, if man is still alive.
I was in my mid-20s then.
Okay, if man is still alive and all the things would happen in 2525. This year's debt being paid at the current rate will be paid in 2526.
Marvelous. We're in deep trouble, bud.
We are in very deep trouble. We need to turn the ship around.
Yep.
Yep, we need a hard We need a hard right rudder on this bad boy.
Something.
Yep. Thanks, Ed.
Thanks for your time.
See you, buddy. Thanks. 250 million rounds a day, 4 years to make a billion, 4,000 years to make a trillion. That puts it in perspective. All right. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Talk to me. Baltimore County Fish and Game Protective Association will conduct a muzzleloader sight-in on Saturday, October 6th from 9 to 3 on the club grounds. That's next Saturday. Saturday, October 6th, 9 to 3, 3400 Northwind Road in Kearney. Cost is $5 per gun. For further information, give Robert Batchelor a call, 410-592-9276. All right, let's see. I'm pretty much done. Why don't you take it the rest of the way? We got 20-some minutes here, folks. Why don't you give us a call and just sound off whatever you want to talk about? We're still talking to CVA. I can't get to the right guy. He won't call me back. But it's one of those deals where I got to deal with – I can't deal with the people above the marketing guy. The marketing guy is very busy and – one of those deals, but we're trying to get the muzzleloader giveaway to get kicked off next Saturday, so we'll see how that goes. By the way, Jack, I appreciate the nice letter. I guess what? I tried the venison recipe with the pork roast in the same pot. My goodness, is that good? Now, I did not put the bacon over the deer roast, but I did cook them together, and the roast, oh my goodness, so tender and juicy. The pork roast was good, very much so. I made a little sauerkraut and dumped it out of the can and cooked that with the pork roast, and that was all good. But Jack recommended cooking a venison roast with a pork roast and putting bacon over top of the venison roast, cooking them all in the same pan at the same time. Worked out very well, Jack. Thank you for that suggestion. Charles, thank you for the picture. Ladies and gentlemen, you have seen the Dos Equis commercial. The most interesting man in the world. the actor that portrays that most interesting man in the world, the most interesting man in the world is Charles from downtown Baltimore. That is the model for the Dos Equis commercial actor. I do truly believe that Sasquatch has a picture of Charles from Baltimore because he's been there. The picture was unbelievable. The picture was Charles that he sent me. Charles between two New Guinea headhunters. And Charles was still attached. So let's talk to Walt Catonsville. Good morning, Walt. How you doing?
Good morning, Alan.
What's up?
Hi. I spoke to you last week.
Yes, sir.
After one of the gentlemen called you. I don't want to give his name.
That's all right.
And he was talking about how he would like to wet a line. And
yeah.
You did put me in contact with him.
Good.
I had an enjoyable conversation with him for
good.
An hour.
Good.
And we're trying to work out something.
Oh, good.
He is handicapped.
Yeah.
And we're trying to figure a way to get him in the boat. And,
sure.
And such.
I think
and
he'd enjoy that.
If he's listening, tell him to get call in.
Okay.
Also, I'm almost ashamed to see, let's just say, that to see the Save the Bay tags on cars.
Why's that?
Because O'Malley had robbed it.
What do you mean? Robbed the fund?
Yeah, he robbed the fund.
Can you send me some evidence of that?
I can.
All right, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com.
Also, I go to the doctor's Friday.
Right.
Okay, all the doctors are set up with new computers now.
Yep.
My doctor was
talking. Oh, everybody has a new computer.
You
yep.
know what they asked me?
Yeah, do you own a gun?
What religion am I?
Oh, really? They ask you that?
Absolutely. It's yep.
Well, I mean, if you're incapacitated, they don't want to do something against your religion to save your life. If you are a member of certain religions that don't believe in surgery, blood transfusions, chemotherapy and things like that, they believe that God will heal you through prayer. I mean, I don't mind, but that's very interesting because remember we're in a litigious society. Remember that if a doctor treats somebody who doesn't want to be treated for a religious reason, they can certainly be sued for malpractice, and it's a CYA deal. And unfortunately, doctors are the biggest target out there for people who, want to file a lawsuit. I'm not defending it, but
right.
I'm just telling you that's why it's there.
Issue I had with it is I'm truly not going to deny my religion.
No, of course not.
As others have.
Right.
In the past.
Right.
Paul, maybe. if you know what I mean.
I do, yeah.
And
Paul denied the Lord three times.
I was
like the Democrats did at their convention.
I didn't want to give them my religion.
Why?
But, well, let's just say I don't go to
your denomination or your general religion. I mean, you can say Christian, and that covers
a
big territory.
I am a Christian.
All right. Well, tell me you're a Christian.
And I did.
Okay.
And I didn't want to give my religion, but I didn't want to deny my religion.
I understand. I understand. I don't want to give my Social Security number just to get a fishing license or a hunting license.
Right. I went through the same thing down at one of your.
Yep. I'm sure, and you know what? The dealers are just as upset about it as I am.
Yeah.
So.
As a matter of fact, the fellow that wrote my license up down there in Hammonds.
Yeah, Hammonds Ferry Road. Clyde, you're talking about.
Well, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, we can talk about Clyde's if they're a sponsor,
yeah,
absolutely.
Clyde's. And the fellow that was even there says, I do not know why they want this Social Security.
Well, I can tell you why, Walt. If you haven't paid your child support, they got you.
Oh, I don't have anything to hide.
If you owe them taxes, they got you.
But doesn't that put you out there for fraud or something?
Well, it can put you out there for identity theft, absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah, but that has to be, that's pretty, you know, if you notice once they type it in, after it's there for like 2 seconds, the number goes away. But that doesn't prevent somebody from hacking the system either.
Right.
And I got to tell you, the problems they've had with the Compass system, they're encouraging people to check in their deer. I did that just for fun to see how that worked. I couldn't even get into my own account.
Oh.
Yeah, so, you know, that's how it goes. But they're going with a DNR ID number now. And that'll keep, you know what? Other states have had it forever. When I go to Maine I'll be going up next month, or November. I'll be going up to Maine to do sea duck hunting. All I do is give them my name, and they put it in the system. And go, oh, yes, Mr. Ellis, you had a license in 2008. You had a license in 2011. You're in our system, so it's good to go. And that's how it works. So.
Yeah.
All right.
But it truly, O'Malley had robbed the Save the Bay for general and put it in the general fund.
I need to see that.
I'll see that you get some.
Ellis at EllisOutdoors.com. Thanks.
Okay.
Appreciate
Thanks.
It, Walt.
Yeah.
Take
Bye.
Care. Nice to hear from you. Captain Rob Tillman Island, talk to me.
Good morning, Alan. How you doing this
I'm
morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, got any better. I wouldn't know what to do.
No, glad to hear it.
I just had a question for you. I don't know if you followed in the paper that DNR had located another one of these quote-unquote illegal gill nets that they had found off of, I believe it was off of Buoy 86.
Right.
Bloody Point.
Yeah, they believe that it was one of the original ones from a couple of years ago that had the 16 tons of rockfish in it.
Yeah, well, the one thing that kind of I thought was a little bit funny, there's probably been in that area up on, we call that gum thickets, there's probably been, during the course of the summer, probably, I don't know, 1,500 to 2,000 boats have fished that area, trolled it.
Nope. And nobody else snagged it, huh?
Yeah, nobody else found it. But the one thing I did find that was a little bit on the funny side that day, and all due respect to the Coastal Conservation Association, that a CCA member found the net, and then also that this net was found, oh, about a month and a half before our commercial gill net season starts. I mean, I can't see why it wasn't found, you know, back in June or July. It just seems funny to that. But the funny question I
have are you just putting a supposition out there? Or are you making an accusation?
What do you mean? No, not accusations. I mean, just it was found this time of year. But when I read the article in the paper, it said that this was a prime example of the of the money spent by DNR to pull this, you know, to retrieve this net.
Right.
The question that I had, and I haven't had an answer yet, how do they know that wasn't a standard drift net that a waterman had hung and could not retrieve and that it migrated down the bay or up the bay and that it, you know, there were no anchors. I do know there are no anchors were found on the net.
Right.
But I just, you know, I just think it's a little bit, you know, when
suspect.
Go ahead.
I said you found it a little suspect as far as the timing of it. That's what you're saying.
Well, I mean, it's not suspect now. It's convenient as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, okay, convenient. That's a good word.
It's a convenient time to find it. But the one thing that I did find that was rather interesting is that in the net was, one article said a lot of crabs. Well, DNR's press release said that there were a few crabs. Some dead horseshoe crabs and some LYs
right.
were in the net. But one thing that was located in the net that I thought was a little funny were quite a large amount of deteriorating beer and soda cans.
Oh, no kidding.
Coming from that area.
No kidding. I'm shocked.
You know, and that, well, you and me both, right? But, I mean, why didn't they put out, you know, I mean, I'm on the water every day down there. You know, I run a charter boat, and I'm
right.
out there every day. That looking at what I saw, I did see the net. It had barnacles on it. Everything could have been there 2, maybe 3 years.
Yeah, you never know. Exactly.
Yeah. But, I mean, for them to make the assumption that
here's the deal, Rob, and I'm not fighting with you on this. I mean, I certainly understand your concern. And, look, I got nothing against watermen. I just report stuff.
Right.
Okay? But here's what I suspect. They probably matched the net to the nets. No doubt they kept samples of the nets that they pulled before.
Right.
Okay, so maybe it's the same you know, size, maybe it's the same construction, same manufacturer, same, you know, tied with the same knots. Who knows? I mean, I don't know the answer to that.
Right.
But,
if
they're going to make a comparison, and, you know, sure. That gill net that was, those anchored gill nets that caught those tons of fish prior to the season 2 years ago, was it 2 years ago? I can't remember. Were a certain size mesh designed to catch larger fish.
Right.
To be sold out of state. Because we don't buy rockfish that big here in Maryland. Those are fish that are going to be pulled and trucked and gone. Okay.
Right.
So maybe they had the size limit, you know, maybe they had the size mesh the same and so forth. I don't know the answer, but
right.
you know, I wasn't on the scene either. So
right. Well, the one net I know that they did find was legal size net. It was 7-inch net.
Right.
They did find with the 16 tons or whatever a rock
right.
had in, so that it was not an illegally, marsh size on the net. I mean, it was legal, but the other thing you got to consider, if they can match it, I can probably take you to 20 different boats that have the same net that comes from the same supplier of the person that gears it.
Yeah, probably.
Person, so.
Sure. Sure, I understand.
Whether it's down the bay or up the bay, but
yep. Well, look, you live there. Hey, you live there. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
And I maybe you know, maybe you don't know, maybe you don't want to answer the question, but I'm going to guess. I'm going to just guess that the watermen responsible for those illegal gill nets have been spoken to by the Watermen's Association or by the watermen in that region. I'm going to guess that they've been that issue's been addressed through back channels.
Well, I mean, still to this day, through DNR's investigation, they have not put a thumb on who...
I'm not talking about DNR's investigation.
Yeah, who the net belonged to, I mean...
I'm talking about the watermen themselves. I'm going to guess that particular gill netter has been dealt with.
I couldn't comment on that. I really don't have any idea on that, Alan.
Okay, well, that's just my supposition because we haven't seen it again, so...
Right. Well, I mean, it's also that, by not seeing it again, it also the basically what we were told also is that if another gill net was found, that they would shut the season down.
Well, exactly, and that's your livelihood.
Yeah.
So the
legitimate
guys that abide by the laws and bag
right.
limits and everything else, I mean, these are the guys who are trying to protect their livelihood, and if they know who
right.
it is, it's going to be addressed. I have no doubt it's going to be addressed.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And it's not going to be the natural resource police that are going to address it.
Right. Well, and this is all getting covered by this new cost recovery that they have that they're discussing in the department now, too. Which
they are, yes.
See what the outcome of that cost recovery is going to be. I just hope that that it's done fair and that it's done, applied to both, that when they do this cost recovery, that it's done both to the commercial and the recreational industry fairly.
I got you. Well... We'll see what happens. I know that the folks in DNR are working diligently on that, trying to cover that shortfall in the
right.
commercial industry. I mean, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of tax.
Well,
it's a lot of taxpayer money that supports a private industry, an organized private industry in this state, and
right.
the shortfall is such that the taxpayers are on the hook for it, so to speak.
Right. So. Well, and the other thing too that we discussed at the meeting the other night down at Cambridge is that you realize that Maryland is one of the only states that does not pull their enforcement for their natural resources enforcement out of a general fund. They are specifically funded through budget through the department.
Right, exactly.
We're one of the only states on the East Coast that does that. Maybe they need to, like I was listening to your other gentleman prior to my call, that, they need to explore a situation or a scenario where they could do that and stop robbing, general fund to pay, robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah, I understand.
Throw a couple of million in DNR.
Well, that's not a bad idea. I think the general fund should, yes, I kind of like that idea. I kind of like that idea that all taxpayers should support the enforcement of natural resources police, and I'm trying to figure out why they don't. Let me chew on that for a little bit. Let me think about that and talk to some people. And they're enforcing fish and game laws, but now we're branching out into a whole lot of stuff. So
a
while back they gave the natural resources police a big boost of officers that were park rangers and
right.
I
just upscaled retirement, believe it or not.
Oh, man. All right. Hey, look,
right,
I got to go. Thanks, Rob. Appreciate you holding on. Thanks.
Out.
See ya. Bye-bye. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Hey, this is Alan Ellis for Baylinex Spray-On Bedliners of Glen Burnie. Baylinex of Glen Burnie, the only authorized Linex dealer in Glen Burnie, proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners, the nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Bedliners completely seal your truck bed, sealing out rust and water. They have a durable non-slip surface. They reduce noise and vibration. The Linex Bedliners resist most chemicals, fuels, and acids, protect against impact, and cleans up like new at your local car wash. Now, Bay Linex offers the Linex Extra, fortified with DuPont Kevlar, utilizes your paint code to match your liner to your vehicle, and provides the extra Kevlar protection. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bed liner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. And now Bay Linex of Glen Burnie can come to your home, your job site, your farm, your business, and spray any equipment or things that need protected from the elements with the correct Linex material. That could be underground tanks, it could be trailers, it could be your deck, it could be anything that needs protected. So, Bay Linex Glen Burnie is protected, is located, at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Visit them online at baylinex.com. Give Bobby Hawkins a call, 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Find out how you can receive a $30 Bass Pro Shop gift card, Bay Linex at Glen Burnie at baylinex.com. It's the Doe Harvest Challenge. Deer hunters, by legally harvesting a doe and donating the meat, you not only feed hungry people in Maryland and please local farmers by reducing crop damage, now you could win valuable prize packages this season. Doe Harvest Challenge offers $5,500 in prizes with 18 chances to win. This contest is limited to 13 counties. If you hunt in Carroll, Frederick, Anne Arundel, Calvert, Charles, St. Mary's, or Prince George's counties, or in Queen Anne's, Kent, Caroline, Talbot, Dorchester, Wicomico counties on the shore, and you harvest a doe, all you have to do is donate your deer through a participating FHFH deer processor. Every 3 weeks, an up to $300 winner will be drawn in each of the three regions, plus a $500 grand prize package to one lucky hunter in each region. Participating deer processors have entry cards to fill out in their shops. You can enter every doe you donate within the Region B bag limits all season long. The 2012 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Farm Bureau, Maryland Grain Producers Utilization Board, the Maryland Soybean Board, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, contact the Maryland Farm Bureau, 410-922-3426. The Buck Bomb is the hottest deer scent technology on the market. The Buck Bomb is pure deer urine manufactured in an aerosol spray. Now, the Buck Bomb, distributed in this molecular form, gives whitetails the opportunity to follow the scent trail to your stand site. The delivery rate and the large broadcast area cannot be duplicated with liquid, solid, or gel scents. Buck Bomb Doe Pea and Vanilla Curiosity work well anytime to disguise your odor. Pick up a can of Young Buck or Acorn Rage for the bow season. For early muzzle loader, the dominant buck scent will challenge other bucks to seek you out. And now the heart of the rut through firearm season, try Doe and Estrus or Bone Collector Buck Bomb. Visit your local outdoor retailer, or you can order online at buckbomb.com. Learn more about the Buck Bomb, or you can call 866-850-6653. And fishermen, you can try the new Fish Bomb Menhaden Quick Slick from the makers of Buck Bomb. The Buck Bomb blows away traditional scent products. Hunt smart, increase your odds with the Buck Bomb. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built their reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Oh, that's better. Now I can hear in both ears. I had to adjust. Now I can't hear at all. Great. Okay. My headset's acting up a little bit, but I think it's probably because the wires are inside the wire. Well, it doesn't matter. Hi, everybody. I'm back. Special thanks to Pete Cycle over there in, on Bel Air Road. Exit 32A, I just want to appreciate those guys for reaching out to hunters with their ATV sale last Saturday, and all the folks that participated in that, the vendors and everybody who was helpful with that. Pete's Cycle Polaris sale does continue, and special financing and $1,000 off and that type of thing until, well, on the 2012 Polaris ATV. So, again, thanks to John and the entire crew over there for making it available, all three locations, to reach out to hunters. And thank you if you happened to attend. If you didn't attend, you missed a good time and some great, great folks and some fellowship with some really good people. So maybe we'll do it again, but we'll see. I want to tell you about Clyde's Sports Shop. You know, Clyde's is a Browning headquarters. They have all the Browning firearms that they make, the Synergy, the Gold, the Silver, the BT-99, the BPS, the BAR, the BLR, the Buckmark pistols, they're all out there. The Satori Trap Gun and the Satori Sporting Guns are two great over-and-unders you might want to take a look at. The X-Bolt, the Browning X-Bolt, is the high-powered rifle that is just spectacular with all standard Magnum and short Magnum calibers. It has an adjustable feather trigger, detachable rotary magazine. Very nice gun. And then the Maxxis shotgun is an autoloader for waterfowl hunting in particular. Available in 3 and 3.5-inch chambers. Power-driven gas system reduces recoil. Available in Mossy Oak Duck Blind for you duck hunters as well. So stop by Clyde Sports Shop, your full-line Browning dealer. They do carry the Browning knives and flashlights and more. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit number 9, 410-242-6108. Not only do they have firearms, they have licenses, gunsmithing, scope mounting, all available right there. You can go online, visit them, www.clydesports.com. They're open 7 days a week, accept all major credit cards. Clyde Sports Shop since 1957. Glad to have them back as a sponsor of the Outdoors and Radio Show. And for you muzzleloader hunters, they also have the Thompson Center muzzleloaders as well. I want to remind you one more time about our friends at Tochterman's, 1919-1925 Eastern Avenue in Fells Point, 2.5 blocks east of Broadway. All fishing, all the time. 1,000 fishing rods on display, 600 fishing reels, a complete fly fishing shop, and experts on hand. If you have a question about bass fishing, Gene has the answer. If you have a question about fly fishing, Joe Bruce has the answer. Offshore, that's McCabe. Travel, that's Jim. And, of course, the great Tochterman family as well. Same location since 1916. 1919, 1925 Eastern Avenue. Give them a call. Their phone number, 410-327-6942. 410-327-6942. Well, that about does it. There's the music. Thanks for a great show. If you want to email me on anything you heard about or any subjects on your mind, well, the email address is Ellis, my last name, E-L-L-I-S, at Ellis Outdoors. Just imagine me standing outside, ellisoutdoors.com. And that's email address. If you have any requests for any information,